sunrise, sunset, and it comes to be my turn. Isaiah chapter 55, please. We've read these verses many times, thought on them, and yet there's always more to think on them. God's word overflows. We never reach the bottom of it. We never reach the end of it. Would you pray with me? And Father, we thank you that we have this blessed privilege to open your word. Thy word is truth. And we are thankful for it. We're thankful, Father, for those down through the ages whom you directed to inspire, to write it, and to preserve it, to translate it, to defend it, our God, that we might have it today. Thank you even now for those who are on battlefields, that we might have freedom, this freedom even to come and open your word. So, our God, with gratitude, we look to you, that you might speak to our hearts in just the way that you want, and that we might be receptive. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Of course, we're speaking anthropomorphically because God doesn't really need to think. If God needed to think, then he wouldn't be the awesome being he is. No, God simply knows. God knows everything. Presently, instantly, all at once, from beginning to end, he knows it all. He's awesome in his being. Tozer wrote, and I thought we might share his thought, "God knows instantly and effortlessly all matter and all matters, all mind and every mind, all spirit and all spirits, all being and every being, all creaturehood and all creatures, every plurality and all pluralities, all law and every law, all relations, all causes, all thoughts, all mysteries, all enigmas, all feeling, all desires, all unuttered secrets, all thrones and dominions, all personalities, all things visible and invisible in heaven and in earth, motion, space, time, life, death, good, evil, heaven, and hell. Because God knows all things perfectly, he knows no thing better than any other thing, but all things equally well. God never discovers anything. God never had to go to school. He is never surprised, never amazed. He never wonders about anything. He does not seek information or ask questions except when he wants to test man. That's the God we serve, awesome in his being. I'd like your indulgence, and I want to read that again. It's just much to take in. God knows instantly and effortlessly all matter and all matters, all mind and every mind, all spirit and all spirits, all being and every being, all creaturehood and all creatures, all plurality and all pluralities, all law and every law, all relations, all causes, all thoughts, all mysteries, all enigmas, all feeling, all desires, every unuttered secret, all thrones and dominions, all personalities, all things visible and invisible in heaven and in earth, motion, space, time, life, death, good, evil, heaven and hell. God knows all things perfectly. Jim Taylor would say, wow. Wow. That's our God. Wow. Staggers the imagination. Job, the book of Job, would you, chapter 42. What does God think? Or what does God know? Job, chapter 42. And in verse 2, Job adds his testimony. I know, speaking of God, Job answered the Lord, verse 1, and said, verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. I know that you know every thought. What does God think? God knows. God knows every thought. The psalmist says in Psalm 92 in verse 5, O Lord, thou art great. Great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. God's thoughts are very deep. They go down to the very depths of us. Hebrews tells us that his word is as a two-edged sword, piercing. Goes, it cuts right through. Psalm 139, if you will. God's thoughts are extensive. They extend to everything. And there never was a time when God didn't know all that is, or all that was, or that all that ever would be. God simply has present knowledge of everything. His thinking, his knowledge is unlimited. Psalm 139 and in verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God's thoughts are precious. Wonderfully precious and innumerable. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, verse 18, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Isaiah. Well, let's go to Jeremiah. Isaiah tells us that he said, surely as I have thought, it shall come to pass. And as I have purpose, it shall stand. God's word, God's thoughts are firm. There's no changing God's word. No changing what God has purposed, what God has decided. God's thoughts shall stand. You don't change God's mind. Well, sometimes it seems like it, but no. As he talked with Moses, God knew already what he was going to do, but he was testing Moses to try to bring Moses into line with God's thinking. In Jeremiah 29, and in verse 11, God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, a future, a hope. I know the thoughts. God has good thoughts toward us. God has good thoughts toward you. In fact, God is thinking about you right now. You are on God's mind. In fact, you're the center of God's attention. And only God can have each and every one of us at the center of his attention at the same moment. God is concentrating on you. He's focused on you. And his thoughts are deep, better, and greater. No one can outthink God. What does that do for me? Well, he knows the way that I take. He knows just what's going on in my life. He knows where I'm going to be tomorrow. He knows where I'm going to be tonight. He knows what dreams I'm going to have. He knows what nightmares I'm going to have. He knows. He knows. He knows. I can know that he has a plan. He has an objective. And because he's God, he can work all things together for my good. He has only good in mind for me. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, not of calamity, to give you an expected end, a future, and a hope. Well, that's what the way God thinks now. God's thoughts are higher than ours, higher than the heavens. How do we think? What are our lowly thoughts like? Well, if you'll go with me to, let's go to Psalm 10. In Psalm 50, he tells us that God said, "You thought that I was altogether like you." We tend to think God is just like us. No, God is totally outside his creation. Creation is just a little blip in the person of God. God is other than. God is not material. He's not what the universe is. He's not what matter is. He's outside all of that. He's different. He's other than. God says, "You thought I was just like you." No, my thoughts, my ways, I am much higher, much higher. We need to have a higher view of God. We need to have a more noble view of God. He's not the man upstairs. He's God Almighty. He's the Creator. He's the Holy One. He's the one who is perfect in all his being, the uncreated creator and sustainer. He's God. We ought to reverence him. We ought to fear before him. Well, what of the unbeliever? What does the unbeliever think? What do men think? Well, in fact, they don't think. In fact, that's pretty much true of our culture today. Don't you like it when they thrust a microphone in front of them and say, "What do you think about this?" You have no background, no information. You can't put everything together, but they want you to just tell, "What do you think?" Well, we don't think. We just spout out for the most part. At least that's what they do in Washington, seemingly. But in Psalm 10 in verse 4, no, it's not Job. Job and Psalm are different. You probably knew that. In Psalm 10 and verse 4, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." What do men think? They don't think. They don't think about God. How many do you suppose thought about God today as they drove up and down the highway, as they went to work, as they went to school? How many considered that there was a God above and beyond them? I often like to pray as I think of different ones, think of those that are unsaved, think of my neighbors. God, in some way, break into their thoughts today. Remind them of some track. Remind them of some believer. Remind them of something that they saw. Somehow break into their thoughts that they might have to think about you. They'll pass maybe some church building. Something, in some way, make them think about God. Make them think about God today. But the unbeliever, for the most part, God is not in his thoughts at all. The psalmist further tells us in Psalm 94, you don't need to turn there, that the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Vanity. For the most part, those who are unsaved, well, look at Psalm 49. You're not too far away. for the most part, men think, well, everything is going to continue. Sunrise, sunset, it's going to be just another day, and things are just going to go on just as they always have. I'll get up, I'll go to work, go to school, come home, feed the dog. Things are just going to go on and on and on. But Psalm 49 and in verse 11, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, their dwelling places to all generations, and they call their lands after their own names. It's just going to go on. Nothing's going to change. No consideration about God. Remember the rich man in Luke chapter 12? He had a good harvest. Everything was good. He had too much, so much that he needed some more room. So he says, I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. I'll have wherewith to store my goods. And that was his plan, his purpose, but God's thoughts were different. He didn't consider God in his thoughts. And God said to him, you fool, tonight your soul is going to be required of you. And then where's all that going to be that you had planned and that you had purposed? How do we think? How do men think? Well, God tells us that man's breath goes forth. He returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Thoughts are gone, all gone. It's over. Go with me to, let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. In Proverbs, God tells us that the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Abominable. Jeremiah warns them that because they have not hearkened to God's words, God's going to give them the fruit of their thoughts. I would hate to have the fruit of my thoughts. My thoughts aren't always what they ought to be. And I would hope not to. I'm glad that God's thoughts are greater than my thoughts, and that he doesn't leave me with my thoughts. Matthew, did I say chapter 15? Matthew chapter 15. And of course, we know those verses. The pastor says, you know all these things. In Matthew 15 and verse 19, we're told what kind of thoughts proceed out of our hearts. What do we think? Evil. I remember the days of just before the flood. The imagination of their hearts was only evil continually. Just evil. That's was their thinking. Matthew 15, verse 19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Evil. Our thoughts are evil. Back to Matthew chapter 6. Not only are our thoughts evil, but they are we fool ourselves. We have religious thoughts, but we fool ourselves. In Matthew 6, verse 7, the Lord warns us not to pray and use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think, this is what they think, that they shall be heard for their much speaking. We think that, if we wear a cross, or if we talk a lot, or if we speak out loud in public and pray out loud, and we do religious things, that's going to be pleasing to God. No, we fool ourselves. Matthew 3, verse 9, to the religious crowd, to the Jewish people in this case, fooling themselves, they said, we think, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father. We go to church, or our parents were Christians, or we had our first Holy Communion, or we wear a cross. God says, don't think that way. Those are low thoughts. Those are not my kinds of thoughts. Ephesians chapter 2. And as you pass by Romans, it will say, it will tell us that God gives men over to a reprobate mind, an unapproved mind, because they don't like to retain God in their knowledge, in their thoughts. Ephesians chapter 2. And we were there. Paul tells us here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, our thinking, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We have a fleshly mind. We think as far as we can see. We think as far as we can see and hear. We think in a fleshly kind of way. Romans, Paul calls it a carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity against God. We think carnally. We think according to the flesh. It's not subject to the law of God. It's not subject to God's way of thought. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 5, again, how do men think? How does mankind think? God's thoughts being higher than ours. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the beginning of verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Corrupt minds destitute of the truth. Can't think straight because we don't know the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, that's the world. If I have it, then I'm godly. Those who have the most toys at the end win. Not so. It's not God's thinking. Not God's thinking at all. Titus speaks of a defiled mind. In the book of Philippians, you might turn there, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, who glory in their shame, who mind, this is their thinking, earthly things. They can't see. They can't see above the sun. They can't see beyond. And this is the way we are. Such is the thinking of the world that we live in. But, you know, we need to be careful. We need to beware that the world pulls very much on us. We're immersed in a world that has no regard for God. TV, movies, video, music, internet. We can use those things, but we want to be careful that we don't misuse them or abuse them or overuse them. Is this vile world a friend to grace to lead us on to God, said Isaac Watts in his hymn? No. It's not moving us in God's direction. It's moving us away from God. It can be very subtle, warming us to think their thoughts about love and marriage, about crime and punishment, about right and wrong, about good and evil, just warming us along until we end up cooked. We begin to think the way the world thinks. We begin to say, well, that's just today's thought. And it's much less than God's thought. We need to know God's thoughts. Little children's song says, be careful. Be careful, little eyes. what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. What do you listen to? Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little heart, whom you trust. Oh, be careful, little heart, whom you trust. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little heart, whom you trust. It's a dangerous world. It's an evil world. It's getting worse and worse. And we're right there in the midst of it. So, God's thoughts are higher. Man's thoughts are very low. How should I, as a believer, think? What should my thoughts be? Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. We don't think like God thinks. We tend to fear. I think it was Brother Spearin mentioned Abraham. Afraid for his life because of his beautiful wife. And so he resorted to lying and deception. That's not the way God thinks. If he had thought God's thoughts, he would have said, well, God has promised me a land. God has promised me a future. And there's no way that they can kill me because of Sarah. Well, then there were the disciples in the midst of the storm. The Lord Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. He didn't say, let's go to the middle of the lake and drown. So storm or whatever, if they were thinking God's thoughts, they would have said, somehow God is going to get us out of this. God's going to get us through this. But how often do we say that in the midst of our situation? How often do we think our own thoughts instead of God's thoughts? Our thoughts, well, I heard that there are some people who worry. I don't know who they are, but in Matthew chapter 6, you might want to take a look at that, just in case you happen to come across some people who worry. God reminds us in Matthew in chapter 6, and beginning in verse 25, the Lord Jesus, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Take no thought. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, for your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? God thinks with his perfect thoughts about the fowls of the air. God thinks about me. God thinks about you. So what are we doing worrying about what we're going to eat or drink or what are we going to put on? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought, what good does our worrying do? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more care, clothe you? O ye of little faith. What are you thinking? Think God's thoughts. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth, the one with the perfect thoughts, the one with all the thoughts. He knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We worry. Why do we worry when we have such a heavenly Father? Remember the little poem said the robin to the sparrow, I should surely like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. They rest in God's thinking. We need to rest in God's thinking. Our thoughts, we have the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We use our minds. God says we dare not compare ourselves with others. Yet in our pride, we do just that. Not wise, he says, not wise. Our thoughts are of self. Look out for number one. No, God says if I look out for him, then he'll look out for me. He says, we ought to look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. How do I think as a believer? God's thoughts are absolutely perfect. Mine are less than that, but they need to be better. Chapter 3, Colossians verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections, your desires, set your thinking on things above, not on things on the earth. Get your eyes, get an upward look. Look up to the plan, the purpose, to the mind of God. Set your affections there. We need a change in our thinking. Romans 12. We need a change in our thinking. We need to learn to think God's thoughts, to think God's thoughts after him. Romans 12, familiar verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12, 1, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your thought pattern, the renewing of your thoughts, your thinking, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do I renew my mind? Well, I need to bathe my mind in the thinking of God, in the Word of God. God's Word is going to make me think better. It's going to make me think rightly. Philippians 4. You know those familiar verses. Remember once when the lawyer, I believe it was, came to the Lord Jesus and asked him, well, what's the chief commandment? What's the best commandment, the first commandment? And the Lord answered him, and he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, with all your thinking, with all your understanding, with all your capacity, with all your desire. love God with all your thinking. That's the first and great commandments, he says, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Someone said, the Ten Commandments have now become two. I must love God, and I must love you. Summed up. Philippians chapter 4, you are. Finally, brethren. That's Paul's finally, not mine. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Ah, here's a secret to changing our thinking. There's a lot of fake stuff going around. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. There be any virtue, any excellence, and if there be any praise, think. Set your mind on these. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. We need to have a change in our thinking. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Who has known the mind of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who's going to be God's teacher? No, but we have the mind of Christ. God's given us the mind of Christ, the thoughts of Christ. Paul prays in Ephesians 1 that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your mind, the eyes of your thinking. Remember on the road to Emmaus, after talking with them, and not understanding, and the Lord taught them of all the things that must be. It says, then opened he their eyes that they might understand the scriptures. We need our eyes opened. We need our mind open that we might understand the thoughts of God, whose thoughts are higher. God says, gird up the loins of your mind in 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again in Romans 12:3, he says, think soberly. In Romans 12:16, he says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Let's go back to Philippians 2. Be not wise in your own conceits. Philippians talks much about our thinking. That we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. That we ought to esteem the other better than, greater than self. We need to think rightly about God. We need to think rightly about ourselves. We need to think rightly about others. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that humility of thinking, humility of thought. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind, let this thinking, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. My thoughts, says God, are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, my ways than your ways. We need to think higher. We're never going to think the thoughts in the same way God does, but we ought to be thinking better in the midst of an evil world that wants us not to think about God, that wants to pull us away from God. We need to set our minds higher, aiming for enjoying the mind of Christ that he's given to us. Let this mind be in you. Let this thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.